Hey, hey, welcome to Coffee and Devotions. It is Friday morning, January 8th, and who is with me? My Deborah Dew, that's right. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. Right? That's right. We grow in our love for the Lord together. How do we grow in our love for the Lord?
Together.
Do we do it by reading His Word? That's right. That's right. So why don't we go ahead and have some coffee, pray, and get into His Word. You want some coffee? Now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the great blessing it is to get to read your word. We pray now that you would care for us, that you would make us wise, that we would see and know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Job chapter 32 through chapter 36. Believe it or not, you have made it 7. Of the way through the book of Job, so we're really close to being done. If these are helpful videos to you, feel free to hit the like or subscribe button. Okay, let's go ahead, Deborah, and jump into the word here. Job chapter 32. Do you want to read the first part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can read that big section, 1 through 4.
So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel.
Okay, keep going.
The Buzite of the family of Ram was aroused against Job. His wrath aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends, his wrath aroused, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job.
You can keep going, 2 more verses.
Now, because they were older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer through the mouth of these men, and his wrath was aroused.
All right, so does it sound like Elihu was upset?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's upset because he thinks that Job is attacking God and that his friends haven't been able to shut him up. Right, so now he's going to start talking. You think he's going to talk good things?
No.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? You ready? Here we go. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, "I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me. I also will declare my opinion. Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasonings. While you search out what to say, I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, we have found wisdom, God will vanquish him, not man. Now, he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words." All right, you want to keep reading, Deborah?
Mm-hmm.
Right up here, they are.
They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them, and I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent and is ready to burst like new wineskins. So I will speak that I may find relief and I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show
partiality. That's a hard one. Partiality.
Partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker should soon take me away.
All right, yeah. So, what do you think he's saying? He's saying like, I'm ready to pop. Right, I've been hearing you guys. You've been talking, but I've been keeping it inside, and now it's like I'm about to pop. I'm like a balloon filled up, or what does he say? Wineskins ready to burst, right? It's just the idea that he's kept silent, he's kept bottling it in, he's been listening to all of this and listening and listening and listening, and now he's got to talk, right? And in some ways, that was a good thing. Did he let the old men talk first? Mm-hmm. Yep, and now he says, I'm the one with wisdom, I'm going to talk. Okay, here we go, Deborah, right here. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Now hold on here. Did you hear what he just said?
Mm-hmm.
Job had pleaded before. Do you remember? Job had asked because he wanted to have an intercessor. Do you remember that, Deborah?
Yep.
Job wanted to have someone who would go between him and God.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying he's God's representative.
Yeah.
Now he's saying he's the one who's going to speak for God.
Uh-huh.
Is that a dangerous thing to do?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I hope Elihu knows exactly what's been going on in heaven. C.J. Williams, I had mentioned his book before to you, The Shadow of Christ and the Book of Job. He actually takes Elihu as an anti-type, one who is speaking not for Christ, but he is supplanting Christ. And we're going to see that he doesn't actually give comfort to Job. Right? What does he say to him? Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. And that's not exactly the truth. What goes on after this? You ready, Deborah? You want to read verse 8 through 11?
Okay. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your word, saying, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. Yet he fists occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths.
Look, in this you are not righteous. Did you hear what he just said? But what did God say about Job?
You're my faithful servant.
Yeah, right. He had said that Job was faithful to him and upright.
Mm-hmm.
And here Elihu is saying exactly opposite. Look, in this you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an account of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, When deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn from his deeds and conceals pride from men. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed, with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones stick out which were once not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to executioners. Right? He's saying there is going to be pain, there is going to be suffering. If there is a message for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. Then he looks at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it did not profit me. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Behold, God works all these things twice, in fact, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. Give ear, O Job, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me, hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. Man, this guy is really young and pompous, it seems to me. Now, I have another friend, Dr. Joel Wood, out in near Beltsville, Maryland, who disagrees and thinks that Elihu is actually a righteous man, but this guy seems like a young whippersnapper. There's only one justifier of man. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who acquits us. He is the one who has paid for us. It is Jesus who makes us righteous. Right? Not this Elihu guy. No. Job rested in God's justice and in his situational righteousness here. Deborah, why don't you go ahead and read verses 1 through 4?
Elihu further answered and said, hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me. You have no knowledge, for the ear tests words as the plate.
As the palate.
As the palate tastes food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is
incurable.
Incurable, so I am without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity, and walks with wicked men? For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight in God.
Did Job walk with workers of iniquity?
No.
Did Job tell people not to delight in God?
No.
So is Elihu telling the truth?
No.
No. I thought he was going to say different stuff. He's just heaping the old accusations on him. Right? This isn't a guy who's bringing any comfort to Job. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. And he's right with this. Elihu is right with this. He who gave him charge over the earth, or who appointed him over the whole world. If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself a spirit, his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the words of my mouth. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? It is fitting to say to a king, is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, Nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and passed away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. Is he right with this, that God judges the world?
Yes.
Did anybody appoint God to be above the world?
No.
No, because God made it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the ruler and the master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is he saying true things right there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that people can say true things and also say untrue things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he need not further consider a man than he should go before God in judgment. He breaks in pieces mighty men without inquiry, and sets others in their place. Therefore he knows their works. He overthrows them in the night, and they are crushed. He strikes them as wicked men in the open sights of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways, so that they cause the cry of the poor to come to him, and he hears the cry of the afflicted. When he gives quietness to who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can see him? Whether it is against a nation or man alone, that the hypocrite should not reign, lest the people be ensnared. Is he saying true stuff there too? Does God hear the cry of the afflicted?
Mm-hmm.
Does God care for the poor?
Mm-hmm.
Is God going to judge righteously?
Mm-hmm.
So is he saying true stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all this stuff is true, but do you think he's assuming that Job is a good guy or a bad guy?
He's assuming that Job is a bad guy.
Yeah, so even though he's saying all this true stuff, is it true of... How's he trying to use this good stuff?
To say stuff against Job.
That's right. That's right. Men of understanding say to... Oh, sorry. Has anyone said to God, I have borne chastening, I will offend no more. Teach me what I do not see, for if I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should he repay it according to your terms? Just because you disavow it? You must choose and not I. Therefore speak what you know. Men of understanding, say to me, wise men who listen to me, Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sins and claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. Didn't he say he was going to bring comfort to Job?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say he was going to be soft or hard with Job?
Soft.
Does it sound like he's being very soft?
No.
No, it doesn't sound like he's being very soft at all. All right, can you read verses 1 through 3?
1 through 3.
That part right there, yep.
Moreover, Elihu answered and said, do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will be to you? What profit shall I have? More than if I had sinned.
I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds, they are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man as much as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the Almighty. But no one says, where is God my Maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven. They cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will listen to empty talk. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. Man, is he sounding like a good friend?
No.
Did Job ever say that God was unjust?
No.
But did he ask why God was doing these things?
Yes.
So he's saying, I feel like I'm being punished, but I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he saying about Job?
Why you're being punished is because you sinned.
That's right. But is that true?
No.
Yeah, right? This guy is acting like he's got all the wisdom, but this is a young whippersnapper who's just saying the same things in a different way. And in some ways, this is even more damning. Elihu also proceeded and said, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Whoa! Did you just hear what he said? Here, let's take that down. Did you just hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
What did he just say about himself? He has perfect what?
Righteousness.
Well, not perfect righteousness. What's it say here?
He has perfect words.
Perfect.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Do you think that's a humble thing to say?
Nope.
You would give this guy a thumbs up or a thumbs down so far? No way, man. This is crazy what he's saying. Can you read verses 5 and 6, Deborah?
5 and 6?
Mm-hmm. These ones right here.
Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed.
He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne of kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in cords of affliction,
then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted definitely.
Defiantly. He also opens their ears to instruction and commands them that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures.
But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge.
But the hypocrite in heart stores up wrath. They do not cry out. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth. I'll get that out of your way, sweetie.
Their life ends up among perverted persons. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in operation.
In oppression. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Did you just hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
If you had been righteous and good, God would, what did he say? You would be, your table would be full of richness. But instead he says he's wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we read in chapter 1 and 2 about Job?
Nope.
No. No, so again, this guy is acting like he's talking for God. But it's not true. Right, but you are filled with a judgment to the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow, for a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Will your riches, all your the mighty forces, keep you from distress? Do not desire the night when the people cut off in their place. Take heed, do not turn to iniquity, for you have chosen this rather than affliction.
Behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, you have done wrong?
Remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar.
Behold, God is great, and we do not know him. Nor can the number of your years be discovered, for he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist.
Which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Look, he scatters his light upon it and covers the depths of the sea. For by these he judges the people. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike.
His thunder declares it, and the cattle also, concerning the rising storm.
Is he saying right things about God?
Well, he's saying the right things about God, not about Job.
Isn't that interesting? Someone can know a lot about God, but can still, sorry about that, but can still have bad theology?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be super careful before we condemn people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we know everything that God is doing?
No.
No, so do you think that we can walk around and say, you know, somebody got in a car accident? Or you know what? There's a boy in the next town over. He's in high school. And he has cancer. Can we go to him and say, oh, you must be a gigantic, big old sinner, and God must be really mad at you?
Mm-mm.
No, because could God be doing other things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if he has sinned, do you think he should repent?
Yes.
Yeah. Are any of us perfect?
No.
What does the book of Romans tell us? All have
sinned.
Yeah, we've all sinned. Right? But is everything that God does able to just be smashed down into a simple little equation?
No.
No. Isn't that interesting? Elihu just said, right, can you count God's age?
Mm-mm.
No, because he's eternal. But yet he thinks he's able to understand everything about God. Is God beyond our understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Can we know anything about him then?
We can know some things about him, but not everything.
That's right. That's right, because if we could know everything about God, then we would be greater and smarter than him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a subject, right? But he is the greatest being. He is the being, right? In him is all life.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Do you think we can trust in him?
Yes.
What about when things are going wrong, like in Job's life? Can we still trust in him?
Still trust in him.
Do you think it might be hard to still trust in him?
Yes.
What about when people are mean to us?
We can still trust in him.
Do you think it's okay to ask him, God, I don't know why this is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You ready to pray?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the blessing it's been to spend time in your word. We pray that you would care for us this day. Let us love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say goodbye? Right there.
Bye.
Bye. See you tomorrow.